This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers. It is Tuesday. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and Tuesday we're back. We're back with the mayor on Tuesday. It's very exciting.
Awesome. Wow.
The mayor had the nerve to think that he had a personal life and had a right to leave town. Had
a take
right to
a take vacation?
What
who does that?
What is up with that? We're going to have to dock his pay, and he's going to have to start paying to volunteer to be mayor.
Yeah, there you go.
I think. At any rate, welcome to Newsmakers. This is where we talk about things Salem and Kaiser related here on KYKN. I think it's the only place really to hear all the great stuff that's happening in Polk and Marion counties. And keep up with speed with people doing good things, people doing scary things, and people, what our elected officials are doing, and so forth. Anyway, but today, the first couple of segments here, we're going to have Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem here with us. Welcome back into town,
Thank
Mayor.
You
went off to Ohio, back to the Great Midwest, where I am originally from.
Are you really?
I'm from Iowa in the Great Midwest. Funny story, when I moved, my family moved because of a job to California. And I found that my fellow fourth graders didn't know Idaho from Iowa from Ohio.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they learn the difference?
Not really quickly. They kept thinking that
fast.
Was where the potatoes were from.
Our daughter lives in Ohio, and it was her 50th birthday.
Fun.
My wife and I went out there to surprise her and did.
All right.
We were very unexpected.
Very fun.
Sure.
Yeah, which is always delightful for someone to have the in-laws show up and unexpectedly.
Good thing.
A couple of weeks.
Good thing the husband hadn't taken her on a cruise.
It would have been teach him not to give her a really good birthday. Yeah.
So did the city run off its rails while we were gone, or they keep pretty good stewards of it?
They do a really good job. They seem to be able to run effectively without me.
And there were no coups in the city council?
No. They had about a half an hour city council meeting and did what they were supposed to do and moved along.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we were talking before the show, there's a lot of things that are developing, and some of them we've talked about, and some of them are getting closer to fruition, and some of them are brand new.
Yeah, so it's been a pretty exciting few days here in Salem. We're looking at the sale of the Nordstrom building down at the Salem Center Mall. It's part of that complex. That building that has big Nordstrom on the side is actually a separately owned property, and it's been sold apparently, or is in the process of being sold, to a couple of fellows from West Salem who are looking at redeveloping it. We'll look forward to what their plans are and how the city can work with them on it. I'm real excited about it.
And its current zoning, does it have to be commercial retail?
Well, probably. I mean, I assume that that's all commercial retail zone or some kind of zoning, but if they have a plan, you know, we have a zone code, and we'll see what we can come up with.
That means you can't put a gas station there, Brad.
No, there's an overlay.
Was that what you were thinking?
No, somebody suggested that people would put more downtown living in there.
Well, we've got downtown living coming as well.
I know.
I noticed in this morning's Statesman Journal, reporter Jonathan Bach reported on Larry Tokarski doing some real serious due diligence and preliminary design work on housing and retail space at the old Wells Fargo First National Bank site at the corner of Chemeketa and Liberty, kind of across from the mall.
Our hole on the ground.
The hole in the ground. Yeah, the really beloved, which I think is, I'm sure there's a lot of people who'll be quite disappointed to discover that hole could get filled with housing and retail space. But that's very exciting. That's been talked about by other, in other proposals over the past several years since since the bank closed and finally came down. So we're very excited to see someone of Mr. Tokarski's capacity looking at that. He's been very successful here in Salem in terms of developing a variety of properties.
So in that South Park block apartments, which Mountain West developed, and they did so well when they opened, they had a phase two, and as soon as they leased up phase one, they started phase two, and now it's complete, and it is also full.
Yeah, it's that. I think people need to remember that. That's the old Boise Cascade paper mill has been turned into by, again, Mountain West, Larry Tokarski's company, development company, into one of the real premier housing sites here in town. He is also working on a project out at the old, the land, it's been cleared now, at the old North campus of the state hospital, which is essentially that part between 25th and Park and D and Center. It's about 40 acres out there, and looking at a mixed multifamily and single family housing development, mainly on the north part of that, the part of it adjacent to Center Street. A big kind of a strip of it has been retained by the state of Oregon with the expectation they'll be selling it for commercial development out there at this
really?
Point. Yeah, it's an interesting batch of changes going on out in that sort of close to the Inglewood neighborhood out in that area.
Well, you know, if they're going to put that much residential there, and by the way, of course, the state doesn't want you to put single family anyway. They're going to force you to add something else. But if you're going to put that much housing around additional housing, having something that people can walk to, right? And as far as the commercial is concerned, and maybe it's just your typical convenience store, or maybe it's a dry cleaner, or maybe it's a coffee shop or whatever. But it's again, it's a place where there are a lot of people that don't have to get in their cars can get to.
No, it's a good point. And they're looking at having some of the preliminary designs having walking trails, sidewalks through the development that connect to locations where there are bus stops or onto existing sidewalk system. So it really is going to be set up for a mix of both cars, bicycles, walking, the whole thing. Very exciting.
So going back to Liberty Street and Chemeketa, the Wells Fargo site, how many floors would that be? How many housing units?
I think they're looking at about five-story two. I think it's really going to be 2 5-story buildings, if I understood it correctly. Again, these are preliminary designs, but they have done some contracting with CB2 Architects to begin doing some preliminary design work. So they can begin, I think, really the way this usually works is you get some good, solid preliminary designs, and you begin pricing it out, and you begin to see if this thing works financially. And I think that's where this is all headed right now. So it tends to still be somewhat speculative. It was presented, I thought, this morning maybe a little more concrete than it actually is at this point. I think everybody's doing their due diligence at this point.
You know what Dave's going to ask you, right?
No.
Parking.
Did you need to park?
Is there any parking?
Is there going to be parking?
Do you live here? No, I'm just messing with you.
I drive here a lot.
Yes, actually, it's going to have first floor parking.
Okay.
Yeah. That pretty well answers it, doesn't it?
That's not enough for 5 stories or 2 5-story buildings.
No. People need, a lot of people don't even realize that the parking lot next to it, so it really is the half block. The parking lot next to it is part of it. So there's the hole on the ground, and there's the surface parking lot that's next to it.
It's the old City Hall site.
Yeah,
the old
City Hall site. Oh, okay. All right.
Which we tore down and
they'll probably make it a park.
No, the old City Hall site is a parking lot that will become a building.
Oh, okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett here on Newsmakers. We've got so many things to talk about. The budget's coming up. And we'll show you how to watch that on TV to have a good time. And some more downtown projects and so forth. So stick with us. You listen to Brent and Dave on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. And sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place. And Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This portion of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us today. We've got Mayor Chuck Bennett here. He's in a good mood. He's lightening my mood.
He's back from vacation.
That's correct.
Dreary, like Monday morning mood. But it's
you
lightening up.
You spend 2 weeks in Ohio and get to come home to Salem.
You'd be happy too.
I always say it's always a wonderful day to live in the Midwest Valley. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're talking to the mayor. He's sharing with us how the Nordstrom building, shall we say, which is integrated with JCPenney and the rest of the mall, is looking at being purchased by a couple of local guys and redeveloped there. And, of course, the Wells Fargo hole in the ground redeveloped potentially with one of our developers. And over at the old State Hospital site, right?
Yeah, and there's more.
And there's more.
But
there's more.
Down at you, for folks who've been here a few years, the old McMahon site, the furniture store site that burned a number of years ago, has been kind of a gravel sort of parking lot on Commercial Street that nobody parks in. Sort of between Liberty and Commercial at State Street.
I think if I own that, I would, you know, make it a pay lot, you know, for people that...
Well, I'll tell you what they're going to make it is a apartment house, and it's going to be efficiency apartments. I think 140 they're talking about. It's going to be happening here very quickly. As I understand it, the parking issue, which I think you alluded to, Davis, is going to be resolved probably in favor of you better walk because there's not a lot of places for you to put your car. Although the city, I think, is if people, again, watching the paper, which has been doing a real good job lately, the city is looking at charging downtown residents for parking and parking structures. They've been able to park there for free. I think they're going to start charging them the same as they charge employees. No charge for shopping or
how do you enforce that
with tickets? Is that what you meant?
No, I mean, how do you enforce that? I mean, how do they know that this person's a resident, this person's guest?
Yeah, yeah. I have never been trained as a meter enforcement officer, so I don't know how they do it.
This car looks like it's out of town.
They know how to do it. They're actually quite good at it.
They track the license plate numbers.
They do track license plate numbers. And again, I've not been trained in it. They just assure me that if I'm shopping downtown, I will not be ticketed. But if I try moving downtown and parking, I could well be ticketed if this were to pass the city council. I'm not sure it will. Then we're looking at a new hotel just up the street where an old garage, the old Marion garage used to be or is, will soon used to be. It's going to be coming down kind of kitty corner from the convention center. That's going to become a boutique hotel. And then there's just been sort of one second story development after another downtown, putting in apartments above retail and some of the historic buildings. So
let me tell you
right along.
Let me tell you why that garage is so monumental that this is happening, because the when the historic district of downtown was created, you know, there were some properties that were newer and they were not contributing properties, and there were properties that were older and they were contributing properties to the historic nature of this downtown core, right?
Right.
Well, it's in the historic part of downtown, and it was listed as a contributing a contributing property. And then there's some flowery language about being one of the first automotive related uses downtown. It had a gas pump, of course, and parking. And it's just a concrete garage, right?
Well,
but it's this treasured...
Let me defend it just for a second. I look at it and I remember as a kid, and you probably do too, you're not that old, but you could get a little garage that had parking on top, the gas pumps out front. It was tin, lots of colors and moving parts, but they were a small... This is that design.
Oh. And did A.C. Gilbert design that?
It's something like that. It was very... but they were a pretty clever design. So it has its place in the history. I'm sure for a lot of guys my age, it's... brings back memories of that Christmas morning when you didn't get the train, you got the garage, you know?
Well, I'm happy to see the garage becoming history.
Yeah. This will be this is going to be a much better use for it. So,
all right, Mr. Mayor.
Very excited.
There's something we want to talk about is the pedestrian bike bridge that's going to connect under Commercial Street.
Very excited about that. For those of you who ride your bike and walk a lot here in Salem, you're probably aware there is a walking and bike path along, a big chunk of it's along Pringle Creek and the Mill Race, coming really from Willamette University all the way through to just through the Mirror Pond Park in front of City Hall, and then it stops because it breaks under the Commercial Street Bridge. And we've been waiting for a number of years to get that connected. Well, it appears we're really moving along now on getting the permits. There's a whole batch of state permits that are required to get to do this because it's along the creek and it's going to have some impacts on Pringle Creek. But that work is well underway. And when that connects up, we will be able to travel that thing all the way through to that route, all the way through
to the
into the park, hook up with the Peter Courtney Bridge, or go to the amphitheater, which is going to be built along it. It's going to be a really nice thing, a very, very nice walkway. It would be about a mile, mile and a half.
So if you can't picture this, the Mirror Pond is the pond that's, you know, it's by the fire station downtown at Civic Center.
That is, okay.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Sounds like a truck.
It's a, it's a ghost in the machine for you police fans. All right, so.
I thought we were being contacted.
The Mirror Pond, and there's a break. And fire station's there. City Hall is there. The pond is there. And when people say the mill chase, mill, what do you call it? The mill.
Mill race.
Race, thank you. You know, that goes by Pringle Plaza. It's that flowing water that runs through there. It's a nice idyllic site. It does go all back. You know, I go through Willamette University, but certainly then back to 12th Street, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the creek runs through 12th Street along Mission Street and all that. It is.
It's very, very nice.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Oh, it is exciting. I think that's going to be a really, it'll become, I think, very popular as people become more and more aware of it. So that's pretty well underway. And I'm just trying to see what else is
Let me tag on to that if I could. So connecting those two, is that part of or is it intersect with the, you know, that bank improvement? You know, South Block is right there, and then the water's flowing into
it's all covered right now. It was with concrete. It's all part of that South Block, kind of between South Block and the new park front development.
Right.
The Pringle Creek passes through there, and Pringle Creek has been opened, but there's still some more concrete to be removed and some work to be done along that bank. To get it taken care of.
Let me ask you a crazy question.
Sure.
Because I had this discussion with Tesla.
Yeah. Right?
Counselor Tesla, who's a fish person.
Yes, she is.
She's like a fish biologist, right?
Yes, she is.
She was surprised to learn. Actually, I think it was dubious to her. She didn't really believe me that we had salmon runs.
Absolutely.
Downtown Salem.
Oh.
Not that long ago.
No, I'd say 20 years ago there were salmon moving up that creek.
Yeah. Why cannot that be revisited? We used to have salmon over here. I was having this conversation with somebody by the penitentiary and the women's prison. They used to go and it was like from shore to shore, salmon bodies flopping around.
Wow.
It was so thick.
They'd come through Willamette. They would come particularly in that Pringle Creek area and then up Mill Creek. It was really remarkable. It was a lot of salmon. This is how I remember it. And it isn't that long ago. But you go back 40, 50 years, and it was very, very heavy salmon traffic up those creeks.
Well, now that we're daylighting more parts of more creeks.
We can hope.
You know, we can. Reintroducing would be nice. My wife was teaching preschool downtown in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
She took her kids along downtown streets and saw the salmon in the creek.
Yeah. Yep.
So we knew they were there. And was, you know, she was like, salmon? Oh, that's impossible. That would never happen, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
Yes, it did. It wasn't that long ago. That was a really cool thing about downtown Salem.
Just too young. He's too young.
You gotta have more gray hairs like the rest of us. All right, we're gonna. Let me ask you, yes. Mr. Mayor, we've asked you for 20 minutes today. Stay with us a couple segments. Do you want to stay another segment and talk about the budget or save it for next week?
Why don't we do the budget next week and get into some detail? But I do want to alert people, the whole budget season for the city, which is almost a $500 million budget. And we'll talk about how that works. That sounds like a lot of money. It is
a lot of money.
That's a ton of money. And I want to talk with you about how that money is available, how much of it's actually available for services we often think of specifically related to fire, police, library, that kind of stuff. That all begins April 24th is when we begin the budget cycle. They'll be available every Wednesday on April 24th and forward for the next several weeks on Wednesday evening for those people who are looking for a really good show to watch. It's your city budget committee. It's riveting.
It's on CCTV, so you can sit there. And
it's good for your blood pressure to hear us talk about money. Yeah, yeah.
There'll be no more basketball, no more college basketball, at least,
yeah.
Right?
March Madness is over. Now it's April Madness. It's,
that is funny. All right. So, hey, so you know, I'm going to an aviation conference next month, and we're going to be talking about recruiting commercial air service. And these things that you're talking about are exactly what we need to highlight, because one of the things they're looking for in a community, is this community growing? Uh-huh. Are there any cranes in the sky? Kind of the proverbial cranes in the sky. When we say there's a hotel going in, and there's housing going in, and there's redevelopment happening here, and this is going, that is huge in terms of the package that we take. You know, hey, we have a vibrant community.
Yeah.
We have a great economy, and people are investing in Salem, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And Salem is really hitting almost historic levels of building permits in almost every category of construction, but particularly single family, multifamily, retail, and really in manufacturing as well. We're seeing record numbers of building permits being taken out. It has been just really a banner year, banner couple of years. Mm-hmm. This community is not slowing down as well. We've really been very successful. We have our issues. You know, we're not going to immediately have a third bridge. I think that's probably one difficulty. But you know what? We're working on a variety of alternative ways to deal with some of our congestion. I think we'll be looking at issues around transportation as we are working our way through the city's new comprehensive plan. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. We're a very busy place.
Good stuff. We appreciate your time. Thank you for your service as mayor. And you might, as long as you're here while it's happening, you might as well take all the credit for it.
Well, I'll get all the blame.
Okay. Amen. Very well said. That's Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. You're listening to Brent and Dave on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Havlin's Nursery.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne here on KYKN, where we spend your noon hour every Monday through Friday talking about local issues that affect Salem and Kaiser, Marion, Polk County, and actually sometimes the greater Oregon as well. One of those things I want to bring to everyone's attention, hopefully you saw it in the newspaper. It is astounding how many people don't read the newspaper, actually.
Yeah, most of it's online, Facebook.
Uh-huh. Even so, please, people, don't get your news out of Facebook. I was in a meeting, and there was about 25 people. And the question was asked, how many people still get a paper newspaper delivered to the doorstep every morning? And I was like, one and maybe two people.
Wow.
And of course, I'm old fashioned and I liked reading the paper. And that has since changed, by the way. I no longer do. But at the time, this was just like a year ago. About two people in the room. And how many people read it online? And it wasn't that many more.
Hmm.
I mean, and this was prior to the Salem Reporter coming to town, so a lot of people had been disenchanted with the Statesman Journal, or for whatever reasons, but literally did not read a daily paper. So we can't assume that everyone's going to hear all the good news. Sometimes they hear on KYKN in the morning, of course. But Bev Clarno, Secretary of State, we talked about that on Newsmakers, that the governor would select a new Secretary of State, somebody who is a Republican, to take the place of Dennis Richardson, who unfortunately passed away.
And Bev is not running for the office.
Correct.
Later.
Correct.
Hmm.
So she has a long history in Oregon. She's from Central Oregon.
Right.
You know, if you're not familiar with her, go ahead and check out the Salem Reporter's article on her. I like the fact that she's been a rancher and a business owner and so forth. And she's also saying that there's not a her quote in the paper was, there's not a Democratic Party way of running the Secretary of State. There's not a Republican Party. There's just protecting, you know, our election process and so forth.
Yeah, it's like an oversight office.
However, I did like what Dennis Richardson was doing, with oversight and with audits and trying to find government efficiencies throughout the state government and all of the different departments. I was really a favor of that. So I wasn't thrilled that she came in and took the job and she immediately fired people.
What?
Yeah, that was the first I saw that. I think it was Monday. Monday's news. Welcome to the job. By the way, we don't need you anymore. We don't need you anymore. We don't need you. And, you know, these are the people who have been carrying out this mission for Dennis Richardson.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm not inside. What do I know?
That's true. You are not inside.
I'm not inside. Can't presume we know everything. Going back to the mayor and some of the things we're talking about in downtown parking, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about parking as much as we were talking about the bridge.
Yes. It's an issue.
Boy,
it's an issue. Most major cities
and if this
have
is
that issue.
Yeah. And if this is a time when someone's going to be making money building housing and retail, it's also going to be a time where someone's going to be able to make money building parking. But the key is, here's the key. Here's the rub downtown, folks, is people don't want to pay for parking downtown. They don't want to do it. But as long as parking is free, you can't have paid parking, and so that does not pencil for the city or any private enterprise to put in paid parking, because there's always free parking and people are going to drive to it, or they'll drive around the block 100 times, or they'll fill up the Pringle. Plus, it is an amazing, we've had a great run with Marion Parkade, Chemeketa Parkade, Pringle Parkade, and whatever the thing's called, Liberty Parkade, I guess. 4 free parking garages in downtown Salem. It's amazing. Unfortunately, Salemites have gotten the message that parking is free, when actually it's not. There's costs of the structure, of maintenance, of the elevators, of security, and of cleaning, and all of those things. It is a major drain. And then we were taxing people doing business downtown who had businesses in their own parking district and self-taxing to get those services and so forth. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting discussion, folks. I just always assumed when I go to a city that I pay for parking. I come from an era, you needed a lot of quarters now instead of you need a debit card or a whole pile of quarters. But back in the day, you could have an ashtray full of quarters and park in downtown San Francisco. You can park in downtown wherever because you had a fistful of quarters. In downtown Salem now, two things that are important to these policies. And you do want to become educated on the policies because they're going to be there for a reason. They're not there for a reason because we want money to go into a giant PERS pit.
Yeah.
Right? And the smartest communities are taking parking revenue and turning it into rejuvenation of that very district. And there's several actually great case studies, but downtown Old Pasadena did this, and that's, it's got to be 20 years ago now, but turned what had become a dilapidated, almost industrial look into the place to shop, the place to have lunch, and so forth. So the things that you can put in are remarkable. Anyway, we're going to be talking about parking as weeks and years go on, as long as they'll let us have a voice here at Newsmakers. We're going to take a quick break. We have got some more guests here in the studio from the Kaiser Police Department. And, doing great things. So we want to talk to them. We're going to take a break right now. Hold on. You're going to want to hear this on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is Listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We've got two new guests here to finish our hour up here on Newsmakers. We got Jenny LaBelle. So she's with the Special Olympics. I'm going to introduce her in just a second. And Lieutenant Andrew Copeland with the Kaiser Police is here as well. Jenny, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you. So you're with, what's your role with the Special Olympics?
I am the local program coordinator here for Marion County Special Olympics.
Program coordinator for Marion County Special Olympics.
It's,
all right.
So it's a volunteer.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And applause from the studio audience. And excuse me. So you have an event coming up, and you have needs to raise money, and you have an event coming up, right?
We do. With Special Olympics Oregon, I know it's been in the news in the past that we've had some financial difficulties. What has happened now is each county has their own Special Olympics program, and we are all basically on our own for fundraising. Which means we're raising the money. We have about 400 athletes here in Marion County. In Special Olympics Oregon, there's like 14,000. And we have 10 different sports that we go year-round. And so we have three different seasons. And with that comes the cost of the venues, the uniforms, the equipment. A lot of our equipment's been outdated, and we need new stuff. And so now we're kind of on our own, raising the money that we need for our program. Eventually, when the state gets back up and running, which they're on their way to, you know, they will help with some of the stuff. But before, everything went into a general pot and was taken as needed. So now, you know, we're our own entity. And so we're trying to do new programs. And what we're doing is fundraisers with law enforcement. Not many people know that law enforcement is the largest grassroots fundraiser worldwide for Special Olympics, raising over $50, $60 million worldwide in the past 10, 20 years. I used to be a part of that program. So we are partnering with Kaiser Police Department for a 5K that we've got going in July, I believe.
Well, that almost gives me enough time to train.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think by July I could do a 5K. Yeah.
Maybe.
They can even walk, so.
Oh, I could do that today.
Perfect.
All right.
So Kaiser PD came up with this event and asked us to partner, and basically it's benefiting Special Olympics Marion County. So we're doing what we can to help Kaiser PD out with volunteers, and Lieutenant Copeland can tell about the event.
All right, so many questions, but let's talk about the event. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for letting us have some airtime.
So you're going to have a 5K, and it's a fundraiser race,
it is,
of course.
Correct.
All right, I'm in. So there's one registrant right there.
Perfect, we'll sign you up today.
It's on, not July 14th. What's the date?
It's July 27th.
July 27th. Okay.
Correct.
What's going on the DeHart family calendar? Okay. Special Olympics 5K. All right. So where is it going to be in Kaiser?
It is in Kaiser at Kaiser Rapids Park.
Oh, great.
So down there, we're going to use the facility, and then the run is actually going to go onto the streets as well.
Okay. So you get participants and sponsors, and people paid it, and the money goes to the Special Olympics.
Correct. It's
$17.
$17 comes with a shirt.
With a shirt.
That's right.
Not bad. Okay. So in these events, there's a lot of running events in Salem, actually, and some in Minto and this and that. They're fun, people. You know, drop $17 somewhere and go do it. Go walk in the park. My wife is not really, she's not a runner. I had been a runner. And so I said, well, come do one of these with me. And it's, you know, at a slow, leisurely pace, you're walking through the park in just over an hour, right? It's not bad at all. And you get a shirt.
That's right.
And it helps the Special Olympics.
Exactly. We're going to have some vendors down there. We're going to try to make it a bigger community event. So if you don't want to run, you don't have to. We're going to have things for kids where they can paint some rocks, and we're going to have some other 1K walk type race. And then we're going to have food. Hopefully some other stuff there to attract more of a community atmosphere to make it a fun event for the entire morning.
It's a party.
It is a party.
That is so great. So what's your goal? What's your goals? Raise how much money?
You know, I don't know that we could cap it. I met a couple athletes years ago, and I saw them compete. And when you see the joy that these athletes have and exude when competing or even training, just doing something together collectively as a group, you want to be a part of that. And we've tried different ways in the past years to get our community involved. The typical things that you hear police involved in is Tip a Cop. They have one at Red Robin. Or the Torch Run, the Law Enforcement Torch Run, which is, I think, in August this year. Or the Polar Plunge. Well, there's not a lot of police officers at Kaiser that want to jump in the cold lake in, you know, January, December, January. So we thought we're more fair weather, and we thought it would be great. You know, and those are all really police sponsored events, and this is an opportunity for the community to gather around Special Olympics in a fun way, and it's pretty cheap.
That is great. So, what is the connection for law enforcement and Special Olympics? Is that just something they've taken upon them themselves and it kind of grew?
It actually started in 1981 in Wichita, Kansas. Chief Richard Lemunyan felt that they wanted to do something special for the Special Olympics back then. And basically it turned into a movement where there's over 280,000 law enforcement involved raising money for Special Olympics.
Wow.
And there's other events throughout the different states and countries that, you know, we don't typically have here in Oregon for, you know, but everybody has their specialties that they like to do and raise money. So it's huge. Every year there's an International Torch Run Conference where law enforcement gets together and learns different fundraising events from other people in other countries and other states to bring it back. And, you know, it's just inspirational. Our athletes, this is what they live for. I mean, they make the connections, they have their friends. I mean, it's their passion. And when there's not a competition, which there hasn't been for us because of the lack of funds, they were just crushed. You know, we tried to do our own competition between like Polk County and did what we could, but you know, this is huge for them. And we have ages 6 to 60, even 70 probably, that participate.
Wow.
Six, you can help or you can practice, but you can't compete until you're 8. But we've had people starting at age 6 come along.
Wow, 6. And 400 athletes in Marion County.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an event coordinator for Marion County. We're talking to Jenny Lavelle and trying to help our county organization, because the statewide is going through reorganization, right? So
that
all the counties
correct.
Are on their own, and hopefully we can get a cohesive statewide program as well and resurge there. All right, so 400 athletes in Marion County. I think you said 1,400 statewide?
14,000 statewide. And there's still a lot of individuals with disabilities who are not participating and who haven't gotten part of this.
Tell us about the sports.
Well, first of all, you should know that there is no cost to any Special Olympic athlete. That's also why, you know, we're doing this, is because there is no cost to them. During the summer, which we are starting in May, we've got golf, softball, bocce, and track and field. In the winter, we have powerlifting and basketball. And then in the fall, we have volleyball, soccer, swimming, and bowling. And obviously, bowling is our most expensive sport because we have to pay for the lanes and pay for the balls. And the, you know, and so we've had to cap it over the years due to cost. So we've had some great Firebird lanes. It's been wonderful for our athletes. They actually put out a specialty because we couldn't offer bowling, so they kind of did a special thing on their own, making it cheaper for them so they could still bowl. We've had a lot of places that are now donating and helping us out with, because we can't pay for any venues to practice right now. So we've got most donations, and they've been great with different companies and places out here. So
that sounds like there's a need. And hopefully the people who are listening are hearing the need and realize, hey, I've got space, or my organization owns facilities that they could use.
Creekside Golf Course, we'll be working with them for our golf, and they are kind of rolling out the red carpet for our athletes. And also another event, October 25th, we're going to be doing a golf outing out there to benefit Special Olympics. So that's just in the starting portions.
I don't think I can come to that.
Sure you could.
No.
It's a scramble. Just get somebody good.
But all the athletes will be better than me. Better than I. They'll all be better than I. My father just corrected me from heaven. It's a curse when you're a son of an English teacher, right? All right. So, yeah, I just think that these athletes will probably show me up, given my propensity to not hit the golf ball well.
They won't make that much fun of you.
Okay. Just tiny
amounts.
Just
a little bit.
How did you get involved? Tell us how you got connected and why it means so much to you.
Honestly, I got involved through the Law Enforcement Torch Run. I was an officer in Wisconsin.
Oh.
And back in 2002, nobody in my department was participating, so they approached me, and I did my first state games and my first interaction with an athlete, with all the athletes, greeting them. That was it. They were in my heart, and they are just amazing. I mean, their smiles, their energy, their enthusiasm, and just everything about them is inspiring.
And I saw the same look on your face when Lieutenant Andrew Copeland here was talking about interaction. It's like, as soon as I had an interaction, well, that's it then. I'm hooked. Right?
Yeah, it's infectious. It really does. And it makes you want to do more, and you just can't do enough for these athletes. They're just, they're special, and just the way that they approach life is different than you or I. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, there's lessons to be learned.
And the thing with Special Olympics is we look at them for their abilities, not their disabilities, and that's what's really special.
So, Jenny, tell us a little bit about the Special Olympics in general. Where did it start? How big has it grown?
Oh, it started back in, I don't know what year, in the 60s, but Eunice Kennedy Shriver is the one who started this back in Chicago and in her backyard, ultimately. And it has just continued to grow. And like I said, it's worldwide now. It's in 120 or 130 different countries now. It's continued to grow. And they just had the World Games in Abu Dhabi just a few weeks ago. And I want to say there was at least 108 countries probably that participated. So it is just, you know, it's the inclusion revolution. Like, we're trying to do unified sports where individuals without disabilities participate with the individuals with disabilities, because we can learn so much from our athletes. So it, I can't even tell you how big it is, but it's huge.
Every now and then, you know, Dave, we get humbled by hearing about somebody who launched something, and then it becomes a worldwide thing. You know, it's like, I have this idea, let's do something good, and then it snowballs and it snowballs and snowballs. And our little part of that here in Kaiser, Oregon, it will be to support Marion County Special Olympics, raise them a little money. You can raise money in the interim too, right? We don't have to wait for the event.
That's right.
All right.
Absolutely.
We always want to tell people how they can do that. Is there a website to learn both about the events and about Marion County Special Olympics?
Marion County Special Olympics has a website. It's Marion, well, we have our own website, and then there's Special Olympics Oregon that is kind of an overall.
Okay.
To volunteer, there's the information on the website to do so if you want to become an authorized volunteer, because we do need them.
Tell us what you need.
With our sports, we always have to have a 4-to-1 ratio of 4 athletes to 1 volunteer. And to get, when you have 60 people playing softball, I mean, that's a lot of coaches.
Wow.
So to get coaches, and it's really only once a week for a couple hours that you have to give up of your time. Golf, same thing. We practice on 2 different days, but it depends on what group they're in. So again, getting enough volunteers that are authorized, they have to go through a background check and do all that and take a few tests, just learning about Special Olympics, general orientation. There's protective behaviors and some other training that you have as a coach. But we are in need of volunteers.
So if there's people who have been gone through a vetting process with Little League, have gone through a vetting process in volunteering the schools, it's a similar type of process, probably a similar kind of clearance. And
yes.
Just get a little bit of training and you can volunteer.
Yes.
Right? All right. So you need volunteers the day of the event, of course.
Yep.
July 27th, 5K.
Yes. Yes. And you can find that if you go to the Kaiser PD Facebook page.
Okay.
There's an event posted on there, so you can find the event there. And then you can also sign up. It's through Race Genius, but you can sign up as a volunteer through there and or as a vendor or as a competitor.
So food vendors, watchers, volunteers, give out T-shirts, walk the thing, just eat the food. All sorts of great things you can do, right? All right. Between now and July 27th, we're going to have an update. But we appreciate what you do and that you came into Newsmakers today.
Thank
Sounds
you.
Very
Thanks
fun.
Thanks for having us.
Great, important work. With us today, Jenny LaBelle from Special Olympics, coordinator of Marion County, and Lieutenant Andrew Copeland of Kaiser Police. They're going to make this thing happen, raise some money. Thanks for being a Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.